to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Love has been my theme. And Man, that's wonderful music this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Great to understand what you're singing about this morning. You got your Bible, we're going to be reading in Proverbs chapter number 31. And we're going to talk about the virtues of a godly mother. I begin to read through this scripture, and I've read this scripture several times. But I guess the more I studied it and looked into the depth of it, I really never saw it quite the way that God has showed it to me this time. So we're going to just try to follow the Lord. You know, what's important is what God wants. And I want God to move. That's my heart's desire in any service here in this church. Really anything that I'm involved in, that God would be lifted up. Because it's about Him. You know, We've heard a couple of songs this morning, and even the one as we first come in. It points back to the mother knowing the Heavenly Father. And for a mother to really be the mother that God wants her to be, I think that's the most important thing, is that she knows Jesus as her Savior. And that's what allows her and gives her the help and the understanding that she needs to be able to lead her children and her home. If you have your Bible this morning, if you would stand with me, we're going to read the Proverbs chapter 31. And I'm going to read the first 12 verses, and then we'll go back and we'll try to look at this. And we're going to do our best just to follow what God would have us to do this morning. But in Proverbs chapter number 31, beginning in verse number 1, says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught." It says, "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to drink strong drink. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." Says, "Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb, and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Now let's pray. Lord, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. God, we ask you, Lord, that you'd come in our midst, give us exactly those words that you'd have us to say. Help us to boldly declare your word, Lord, and to, Lord, honor you in everything that we say, everything that we do, to lift you up, Lord, and to pay close attention to the movement of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'd touch our lips, touch our heart and our mind, that all that's done in this place would be to honor you. And Lord, most importantly, we pray right now that if there's somebody here that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they'd understand the importance of it. And God, they'd cry out to you and ask you to come into their heart and be the Lord of their life. God, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise for all that's done and going to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about the virtues of a godly mother this morning. And what I've read to you in this 31st chapter, and we're going to go through the chapter a little bit this morning. I want you to understand, number one, that this virtuous woman that's being talked about, she is a mother. And as you go through it, you find the very first thing, she begins to talk to a son. And in the second verse, she says, what? And if you begin to look at that verse and think about it, here, it's what is important. What do I need to talk to my son or to my daughter about? What things do they need to know? And she begins a process of explaining some of those things. And then the scripture goes in the 10th verse into the praise of the virtuous woman. Now I begin to study this and think about it, and I thought of a poem, and I want to read you part of it this morning. And the title of the poem is My Mean Mother. It says, and this is coming into the middle of it, says, we had to wear clean clothes and take a bath. The other kids always wore their clothes for days. We reached the height of insults because she made our clothes herself just to save money. It says, why, oh why, did we have to have a mother who made us feel different from our friends? The worst is yet to come. We had to be in bed by 9 each night, up by 8 in the morning. We couldn't sleep till noon like our friends. So while they slept, my mother actually had the nerve to break the child labor law. She made us work. We had to wash dishes, make beds, learn to cook, and all sorts of cruel things. I believe she laid awake at night thinking up mean things to do to us. She always insisted upon telling us the truth, us telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, even if it killed us. And it nearly did. By the time we were teenagers, she was much wiser and our life became even more unbearable. Now this is written by a daughter. It said, none of this tooting the horn for a car for us to come running. She embarrassed us to no end by making our dates and our friends come to the door to get us. If I spent the night with a girlfriend, can you imagine she checked on me to see if I were really there? I never had the chance to elope to Mexico. That is if I'd had a boyfriend to elope with. I forgot to mention, while my friends were dating at the mature age of 12 and 13... my old-fashioned mother refused to let me date until the age of 15 or 16. 15, that is, if you dated only to go to a church function, and that was maybe twice a year. Says, through the years, things didn't improve a bit. We could not lie in bed sick like our friends did and miss school. If our friends had a toe ache, a hangnail, or a serious ailment, they could stay home from school. Our marks in school had to be up to par. Our friends' report cards had beautiful colors on them. Black for passing, red for failing. My mother, being as different as she was, would settle for nothing less than ugly black marks. As the years rolled by, first one and then the other of us was put to shame. We were graduated from high school. With our mother behind us, talking, hitting, and demanding respect, none of us was allowed the pleasure of being a dropout. My mother was a complete failure as a mother. Out of 4 children, a couple of us attained some higher education, and none of us have ever been arrested or beaten his mate. Each of my brothers served his time in the service of his country. And whom do we have to blame for this terrible way we turned out? You're right, our mean mother. Look at the things we missed. We never gotten to march in a protest parade, nor to take part in a riot, burn draft cards, and a million and one other things that our friends did. She forced us to grow up into God-fearing, educated, honest adults. Using this as a background, I am trying to raise my 3 children, and I stand a little taller, and I'm filled with pride when my children call me mean. Because, you see, I thank God he gave me the meanest mother in the world. Amen. Now, this was written by a lady in reverence, or in basically in honor of her mother. And we look at this scripture in Proverbs, and we find basically the same thing. We find scripture that's written in reverence or honor of a mother. And as I began to look at this scripture, and I thought as I read through it, and obviously the word of God began to pop into my mind, I began to think about how that God really hasn't changed. You know, now we know that God's word tells us he has not changed, but when we look at what was written in the book of Proverbs, we see that God has not changed. Because as I begin to look at these verses, I found cross-reference verses all over the New Testament to tell us things that support what this virtuous woman was teaching her son. But there's a problem with that. This New Testament wasn't written at this time. But God's the same God. And I want to go through this scripture, and I want to go through it just a little bit and try to follow God, but I want you to see some things. Number one, if we look at the scripture here in Proverbs chapter 31, if you look at verses 2 through 9, we find that number one, the godly, virtuous mother gives godly instruction to her son. The first thing she begins to talk to him about is about relationships. If you look at verse 3, he says, "Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Now, we can look at this and we can see it in relationships to, you know, a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but we could also see it in relationship just to friends. You know, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 that popped in my mind that says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." And what I thought about as I looked at this scripture is mama knows. Mama knows. You know, you could come in, "Well, where are you going?" "Out with my friends." "Which friends?" "Where are you going to be at? Are you going off with that boy or that girl?" You know, we had recently something on television where a mother saw her son on TV. And he was down there at the right. And he tried to cover up his face, you know, where he could see. But she recognized that boy. And she went down there to where he was at. And she got a hold of him. She snatched him out from that crowd. Now he thought, don't you understand something for a minute? He thought he was cool. He thought he was doing the right thing. But when she got there and she got a hold of him, he looked like a fool. Because she about beat him to death in front of everybody there. Now, you know, we were watching that on TV and the police were saying, "We need more mothers like this." Now, you know, I knew it was going to happen. It didn't take long for the liberals to jump up and say, "That's child abuse." You know what we need today? We need more mamas and more daddies to be godly mamas and daddies to tell their children what they need to do. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, I'm going to have to touch on this. I can't help it. This is God's word. This is what God's word says. Now, I've raised one daughter, and she's married, and she's living on her own, and I miss her. I'm going to see her soon. But I got two boys. You know what I tell my boys? I tell them the exact same thing that I told her. I tell them that a Christian should marry a Christian because that's what the Word of God says. But you know, I can tell you there were times coming along in my life when I was growing up that I can remember one time that I want to tell you, if it were on YouTube, it'd make that thing in Baltimore look like nothing, Brother Tommy. We left church one night and we had some visitors there and we went to McDonald's. And you know, back in those days, I had a Camaro. It was jacked up. It had tires on the back of it that wide. And I didn't have to be good looking because my car was, if you know what I mean. We got down there to McDonald's and there was a little girl there. And she kind of was, I don't know if she was, you know, I guess she was looking at my car because there wasn't much to me. But she come over and wanted me to take her home. But I want to tell you, I knew that this was not the kind of girl that my mama would want me to be around. But I took this little girl home, and she didn't live far from us. I got to the house, and I pulled up in the yard, and my mama was rocking in a swing. That swing was moving just like this, and she was sitting there, and I said, "What's she doing out here?" And she said, "Come here, boy." Now I come up, and she said, "What do you mean?" And I giggled and said something that was a wrong thing to do. I want you to know, she jumped up and grabbed me by the back of my neck. And she went to wailing on me, and I promise you, Baltimore was nothing. She, you know what she said? She said, I've raised you better than that. I've taught you not to hang around with girls like that. I said one more thing, then it got worse. I want to tell you, I've never been beat so bad. But it was because my mother said, God's got a, here it is right here, God's got a plan for your life, and because I care about you, I'm going to get involved in your business. And if your parents love you, they're going to tell you what's right and wrong in your life. And it don't matter if you're 15 or 55. As long as mama's alive, she's going to tell you what the word says. Amen? I still remember that. Sometimes I snicker, but not close to her. Verse 4 and verse 5. She tells her son about strong drink. You know, we got graduation from high school coming up. I got a boy that just turned 15. We drove to Cedartown yesterday to find the door locked. Oh, what a frown. What a frown on my son's face. He's got to have those learner's license. But you know what a mama's going to tell her son? Don't go out there and get something in your body and think you're going to drive. Don't go out there and think you're going to drink and think you're going to drive. Don't go out there and think you're going to take drugs and you're going to be on the road. Do you know that you can kill somebody and it'll ruin the rest of your life? There are people that come to celebrate recovery and they come here because they need help. And you know what we do? We do this. And we put our arms around them and we try to help them. But I want to keep you from having to get to that point. She said, son, don't do it. Son, don't go there. Because if you don't go there, you don't have to be sorry. That's what she's saying. If you want to be a king, live like a king. There's nothing this world has to offer you that even is compared to what God has for you. God has a plan for your life. Then in verse number 8 and verse number 9, she talks about righteous judgment. You know, I want my children to grow up and know how to treat people. Do you know that the high school years are the roughest kids of your kids' life? I want to tell you something. When I was going through high school, I was a loner. I was different, but I was miserable. Because I was picked on, because I was bullied, because of this. And I want to tell you something now as a Christian. If you're trying to be a Christian, you're not going to grab a pipe and hit somebody because they say something to you. You want to. But the scripture says the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen. And it keeps us from lashing out. I want my children to know how to treat people. And here's what I think this is teaching. I had rather see my children rejected by the in crowd and try to befriend somebody that needs a friend and be godly than to be popular. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's more important to do the right thing than to have the approval of the world. There's no place for anybody that says I'm a Christian to be a bully or to mistreat somebody or make fun of them because they're less fortunate or make fun of them because maybe they're mentally handicapped. But that's the way some kids are. You know what she's telling him? She says, you need to learn how to treat people. She said, open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Here it is. Do what's right. Do what's right. And I believe that's what she's trying to get him to see and to understand. Because if you're ever going to grow up, and you know, we all think that our children are princes and princesses. You know, I learned this from my daughter. You know, you pull in and you go up to Walmart and you get that first parking place. I'd be riding with her and she'd just say this, Princess Parking, and she'd pull right in. And I got my littlest boy has ridden with her when she says that, and he says it. I said, we're trying to say, son, Prince, Prince, Prince. But don't we feel like our children are, they're kings and queens in our home. We love them. We want what's best for them. We want them to live a life that's better than we had. That's our heart's desire. And when we give them instruction and we try to teach them, it's because we love them more than we love ourselves. Look down to verse number 10. This virtuous woman, she is a picture of virtue. In the 10th verse, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Her value is far above rubies. It's like the video that we just saw a minute ago, and the little baby said, "Something, mama. That's all we got." But the dad interpreted. He said, "She wants you to know how much she appreciates you. She wants you to know how valuable you are and how much you are missed." You know that I sit down and I begin to study this, and a lot of times when I'm preparing to preach, I'll be at work and God will give me a thought and I'll write it down. I'll go to lunch and I'll sit at the Waffle House in the corner booth. They know me my name. And I sat there and I study and I write notes. You know, I was studying this and I wanted to send my wife a text and tell her that she truly was a virtuous woman. Because as I begin to look at this scripture and I begin to think about the things that a mother does to sacrifice, her value is far above rubies. Look at verse number 11. It says that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She is trusted by her husband, and he does not worry about her doing him wrong. One time I had a friend, and he come to work, and he was just down. And I saw it on him. He was down. I said, "Man, what's going on?" He said, "Well," finally he talked to me. He said, "Well, my wife's getting ready to go to Florida with some of her friends." And I thought, okay. My wife goes to Florida with some of her friends, and I'm excited for her. You know why? Because it gives her a break. And she goes with people that are Christians, and I don't have to go. Praise God. I hate to meet you. But you know that he was talking to me, and this is what he said. And I found out what it was. He said, "You know, I guess you can't control what they're going to do." He said, "If they're going to go down there and do something that they shouldn't do, I just need to quit worrying about it." And I began to realize that this man was worried about his wife going to Florida with some of her friends because he did not have the trust in her and in his relationship with her. And you know why it's that way sometimes? It's because he's guilty himself. And the reason we have problems, number one, in relationships is we need to be looking for a partner that knows Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, when I went looking for a girlfriend, I wasn't looking for the prettiest thing. I wasn't looking for the greatest well-known. I was looking for somebody that loved God enough that they would go to church with me, that when I went to preach, they'd support me and they'd pray for me. And can I tell you that being pretty was just an extra, amen. Scripture says she is trustworthy. The scripture says in verse number 12 that she is consistent and committed. Verse number 12 says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. You know, I heard a story of a man. You know, we go through life and we're blessed. When we're young and we're strong and we have our strength, we don't realize what we have until we get old. We don't realize how important our knees are till we start going up and down the steps, and we realize why people told us when we were young, one day you'll wish you had a house that was all on one level. I'm thinking about that now. I say, "Son, go turn that light in the basement off. I don't want to climb those steps." But you know, it goes on, and that's the way life is. Life goes on. I heard the story of a man, and we don't know what we're going to face. But his wife, and they'd got spent years together, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. And she was in a nursing home. And every day he would come in. And he'd go and sit down beside her and he'd take a spoon. And he'd feed her. And you walk down the hall and I can remember hearing the words. He'd say, "Honey, take a bite. Honey, you need to eat. Honey, this will give you strength." A lot of times when people get to those points in their life, that's it. Just like that movie we watched out here on the lawn, God is not dead. Amen. Had the girl in the movie, she was all about stopping Christianity, but she went to the doctor one day and they told her she had cancer and she had a tumor that was not going to allow her, even as a young person, to have a long life. She called her boyfriend on the phone. He said, I didn't sign up for that. That's why the most important thing you need in your life is Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we misunderstand what's important. We need to realize that God's most important. Put God first. Look for somebody that loves God. Live your life for the obedience to God. And let God have everything that you face. Amen. Scripture says she'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The next thing, number three, and this is in verse number 13 to 18. It says she takes good care of the family. If you look at verse number 14, she provides food for the table. It says she is like the merchant ships, and she bringeth forth her food from afar. You know, one thing I've thought about, and I see this even as I look back when I was growing up, my own life and my mother, and I see this in my wife. You know, you ever sat down at the table, and you got these boys, and you got these girls, and they're growing, and they eat? You ever notice how mama waits to make sure that everybody gets a pork chop? Everybody's got to get a piece of chicken. Everybody's got to get a biscuit. And if she's making sandwiches, I've seen this too, she'll wait till the sandwiches are made. And if somebody has to take an end piece, mama's the one that gets it. Because mama makes sure that the family's fed. Mama makes sure that the family's taken care of. And when I look at this scripture and I see it in this virtuous woman, she's traveled great distances and done great works to make sure that the children have what they need. That's the characteristics of a virtuous woman. In verse 15, she rises early to care for her household. It says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You see, oftentimes, mama is the first one up, and she's the last one to go to bed. You know, she'll get up 30 minutes before everybody, and everybody already, you know, I love to try to get settled down by 10 o'clock. That's my goal. 9:30 is a blessing. But after 10, I go into the grump zone, if you know what I'm saying. But sometimes, and I've heard this saying, a man's work, it's from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. You know, do we take for granted how many loads of clothes there are? Do we take for granted who's going to clean the house? And who's going to clean the bathrooms? Especially when you got boys in the house. She riseth early to care for her household. Verse 16, she recognizes the needs of the household. It says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. In other words, she's always watchful. You know, sometimes the kids get mad when mama looks at them and say, you're not going like that. You're not wearing that. You're not doing that. But she looks at them because she loves them, and she grows to great lengths to make sure that they're taken care of and that they have what they need. Verse number 18, she is always watchful. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. You ever noticed how a mama can have that little baby, and she knows its cries. She knows when it's hurting. She knows what its needs are. She knows if she needs to jump up and run, and she knows if she needs, you know, if she can give it some time. But I can remember being laying in the bed at night and hear her get up. And it'd just be some little whimper. You see, they hadn't always had these little boxes you could put by your bed. That you could put one by their bed, and it kind of amplifies the sound. That's why a mama sometimes has to sleep with one eye open. How many times has your mama, and you can remember this, when you're sick, sat up all night long with a towel right there on your head, holding you in her arms, giving drops of whatever you'll take, trying to take care of the little sick ones because she loved them. You see, she makes sure that she's always watchful for the babies, for the sick ones, and God forbid, for Dad. He's the worst.
He gets in his recliner. Honey, would you get me some water? Honey, would you hand me the remote?
We're thankful for Mama. Amen. Verse number 21, she makes sure that they're properly clothed. Says she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. That means the best. It's like this. You're not going out without getting your coat on. They go to pitching fits and they're upset. They don't want to wear shoes. They don't want to wear a coat. But Mama is going to make sure that they got what they need. Mama, it's almost like, well, I'm going off. Well, not without a coat. You ain't going. Because Mama makes sure that they have what they need. Number four, look down to verse number 20. She exemplifies godliness. If you look through 20 to 29, verse number 20, you find she is kind to the poor. It says she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, and she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. So even though she's busy with all these other things, she's got time to cook a meal to carry to somebody else. Just like here, and I thank God for this, when somebody's in need, somebody's there to reach out. But it takes someone with virtue, a virtuous woman, to be able to do that. In verse number 22, we find that she presents herself well. You see, it says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Now, we know that this is talking about a different time, but as I looked at this, here's what I begin to think. The virtuous woman is modest and godly. If you look down at verse number 23, she is honorable. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now, as I begin to look at that, I thought about this. The virtuous woman is well spoken of. People look at her and they know and they recognize someone that has virtue. And it's kind of like, you know, when you walk in somewhere and you're introducing your spouse. A man should do this, or he needs to know to do this. This is my better half. Okay? The Bible says that a man will leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they twain shall be one. And you introduce them as your better half. And now I want to tell you, for a long time, especially over at Macklin, we'd go somewhere and I was Kendra's husband. Everybody knew her. I'm Kendra's husband. What does it say right here? It says her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Why? Because he has a virtuous wife. You know, I heard somebody saying recently, in America, you know, and this is the honest truth. It's the mother that's the last one to disrupt the home most of the time. You know, we're living in a nation today to where the home is in shambles. And most of the time, it's because daddy is absent. And if daddy and mama were together raising their children to know the Lord, we wouldn't be in the shape we're in this country. It says here, he is known of because of her. In verse 25 and 26, she has a testimony. It says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her testimony is known. She is a virtuous woman. If you look down to verse number 27 and 29, it teaches us that she is not slothful. It says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You know, when you read through the Word of God, there's only one woman in the Bible that's actually called virtuous. And that's Ruth. Now, when we begin to understand where Ruth come from, Ruth came from a very difficult background. She had lost her husband at a young age, left her homeland, and went into a country where she basically begged for a living. She was a gleaner that went behind the reapers and she picked up whatever she could pick up every day. That's what she was able to eat. But she was virtuous because she remained godly and did the right thing in the midst of every circumstance or situation she faced. Now, God knows how to deliver, and God delivered Ruth when Boaz saw her, and he took her and she became his wife, and this woman is in the actual bloodline of Christ. Now, what makes a woman virtuous? Is she really understands what matters. You know, if we read these scriptures and we look at them, and you know, when I read it myself, I can't help. When I read God's Word, sometimes it's convicting to me. Because I can't read it and look at myself and not see some area of my life to where I need to be a better daddy. Where I need to be a better employee. Where I need to be a better employer. Where I need to be a better neighbor. Where I need to do more that honors and glorifies and exemplifies Christ. But if I look at this scripture and I see that she understands what's really important. Look at verse number 30 and 31, which is basically the conclusion. It says, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the streets. Now, she understands what's really important. And she knows that it's not me. And we all need to understand that. Until we get to the point that we recognize that our Heavenly Father is the great I Am, and I am not, I'll never be able to be what God wants me to be. I believe she recognizes that stuff is not what's most important. Now, there's nothing wrong with stuff, but all stuff's going to mean is you have to have a place to put your stuff. You know, that's why when people build houses now, the biggest room in a house that's growing and growing and growing is the closet. I remember when I was a kid and we moved in over in Lithia Springs into the first new house that my dad ever bought. You remember the closets that were about this deep and it had them bifold doors? We'd be in trouble today, wouldn't we? We need his and hers closet. We got to have a place to put our stuff. Nothing wrong with stuff, but don't put stuff in front of your children. Don't put stuff in front of your God. Amen? She understands that God and family are the most important things. She is virtuous because of her relationship with God. See, it says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. See, she fears God. She honors God, and that makes her beautiful. See, some of the most beautiful people that I've ever known would never make it on the cover of a magazine. You never see them when you walk into the grocery store and you're bombarded with all those pictures while you're trying to check out. See, sometimes I go in there and I just can't help it. I just turn the magazines around. There's some things I just don't care about seeing and I don't care about hearing about. But there's a lady when I was growing up, and you know, you ever been around one of those people as long as you can remember, they always look the same. We had a lady when I was growing up in church down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church. Her name was Miss Etheridge. We called her Sister Etheridge. As long as I can remember, she came to church as a widow. She worked in Bible school as a widow. She would get up and testify, and she had this little handkerchief, and when she really got to testifying, she'd hold it in her hand and wave it. And she had this saying that she would talk about: knowing Jesus is joy unspeakable and full of glory. And her testimony was that one day she's going to get to go and see her Jesus, and she's going to get to go and see her husband. And I want you to know that as I look back, you know, as long as I can remember, this lady was full of years, but she was beautiful because she was virtuous. The virtuous woman understands that she is able to be what she is because of him. You see, we're here in the house of the Lord this morning. It's a privilege to be here. But folks, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. We wouldn't be able to have Christian homes if it wasn't for Jesus. There would be no virtuous mothers if it wasn't for Jesus. See, godliness and virtue come from knowing God and from learning God's Word. That's why if we look into God's Word and we see it and understand it, she understood the most important thing was fearing the Lord. Now, I want to ask them to come with a song, and I want you to ask you this morning if you'd rise to your feet. As I look at this scripture, and I really appreciate the mothers this morning, thank you for being here, and I appreciate my mother. I appreciate the kind of home that I grew up in. I appreciate my wife. And I even tell my boys, and of course, you know, I'm not ready for them to get married now. But I tell them, you know what I tell them? I'm praying right now that God would send the right one into your life. Have you ever prayed that prayer? You ever asked God you ever went in by your children's bed and put your hand on their head and prayed for them that God would send the right person in their life? Prayed that God would help them to make good decisions as they grow up. You know, I don't try to push them this way or that way, but I want to tell you something. There's a lot of times I get heavy in my heart. I come into the house of the Lord. You know what my heart's desire and prayer is? Is that every child in this place would be saved. Every adult would be saved. Every home would be a Christian home where Christ is first and where God is lifted up to where we can say we're growing in our virtues and our relationship with God. Now, I want to tell you this morning, virtue is found when you touch Jesus. Remember the little woman, she said, for 12 years, I've done everything I know to do. We're going to let them sing in just a second. 12 years, and there was a crowd, but she wanted to touch Jesus. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she got down and she reached through the crowd. And the scripture says that virtue, which means power, went out of Jesus into her. You know where our strength comes from? The Lord. You know where your help comes from? The Lord. If you want to be a godly mother, the Lord. If you want to be a godly father, the Lord. And I want to ask you as they sing a song, if you want to know Jesus, if you just reach over right now as they sing, take somebody that you love by the hand. They'd be glad to come right down here with you. If somebody's been a blessing to you, if you got somebody here that you love, that God spoke to you about, tell them. Tell them today. You may not have tomorrow. As you sing, go ahead.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and lose all their guilty stains. life flows.